Hello and welcome to this episode. I'm going to start with a quotation from John Cotter, professor at Harvard Business School. Buy-in is critical to making any large organization change happen. Unless you win support for your ideas from people at all levels in your organization, big ideas never seem to take hold or have the impact you want. He goes on in his work to attribute no buy-in as one of the reasons for 70% failure rate in change programs that he'd researched. In our research, I shared in a previous session, a high degree of collaboration is one of the three key success factors to strive towards in any change initiative. So why is lack of buy-in such a prevalent condition? I think there are two problems to recognize here. Firstly, that resistance and challenge to a new idea is normal. It's one of our inbuilt responses to change. If you think about it, we're all invested in the current order, the current way of doing things. And when somebody suggests something novel, There's always a perceived switching cost and perceived risk. So, it's a cold sea out there. Why should we jump into it? And the bigger the idea, the bigger the potential disruption, and the greater you're going to have either explicit or covert pushback. Secondly, and I think talking to us as change agents, project people, engineers, program managers, I think we have a natural tendency to focus on the tasks, the implementation, the delivery of the plan to the plan. And often you'll see an underinvestment in the marketing, the communications, the focus on adoption. Often in retrospectives on programs, when we ask, what could we have done better? The answer comes back, we could have done a better job of communications. In an ideal world, I feel we should be striving to take people at all levels on a journey. If I could give you a metaphor of communications as an escalator, people are going to start with not knowing what's going on. So we need to build awareness of the change and layer onto that awareness some understanding of the change, why it's occurring, what's involved. Then gain support through engaging people in that change activity to the degree that it affects them. And through engagement and inclusion with some people, build ownership, and beyond ownership to build advocacy and have champions out there who will spread the message on our behalf. So that escalator is how we achieve what I term enrollment. This is enrolling people in our scheme. A definition of enrollment, when others understand our vision and can see their commitments being fulfilled within it, then they're enrolled. Today, too often, people, in my experience, try to achieve this enrollment through a default pattern of communication that I will term describe and defend. So what do I mean by that? Well, perhaps if I tell you a story of a project team, had this really good idea of using artificial and intelligence and robotics to automate what had previously been a manual workflow in the back office of the operations of a bank. So a huge opportunity, a very appropriate technology. And what did they do? Well, they presented the problem with today's process. They shared some of their analysis into available technologies. They described the architecture of their solution. They gave a proof of concept demonstration in one situation. And speaking to the senior managers in the room, they said, well, you know, I'd like you to support this. Any questions? And the questions they got were actually quite challenging. So there were people saying, well, you know, you don't really understand the complexity of our situation, and I'm not sure you can automate the highly skilled work that our people do. And this example in your demonstration really isn't the big problem that we have today, and so on and so forth. Teams started to hear this as pushback and challenge and disagreement, to the point that they walked away from that session saying, this hasn't landed. You know, this idea is not going to work with these people. We're not going to get the funding and the resources that we were looking for. So what you were seeing in that example, which is often the case with describe and defend, is that the audience just found it hard to embrace the vision or to see how it would affect them in a positive way, and to understand what was really being asked of them at that stage. And the default, as I said, it's our human nature to question and to challenge. That wasn't necessarily disagreement, but it was definitely being heard like that. So how can we do a better job? Well, I have some suggestions, as you might imagine. My first suggestion is that it is better to present the outcome than the problem, at least initially. So definition of an outcome, a positive description of the future state. So focusing on the future state in a positive way. And that means not dwelling on the technology or the product or the change process, but getting across the vision of what that change process will result in positive terms. One of the key communication skills here is to have the distinction in our mind between features, attributes, and benefits. What we should be seeking to do is to communicate the benefit, not the features or attributes. So what does that really mean? Features and attributes are always describing the solution, product, or the service. So they'll be talking about as a feature what it does, as an attribute, how it does it. The benefit is the positive impact that creates to the audience or to the user. So why should they be using it? Let me give you an example. You know, imagine an electronic device that has a state-of-the-art lithium cell battery. This has very long life, fast recharge time, and, you know, can be recharged through 1,000 full cycles before needing replacement. Well, those are features and attributes, but which mean that as benefits, you can charge this first thing in the morning, it will work all day without a recharge, and you can operate this device for 10 years before needing an expensive battery replacement. So to chain from features and attributes, which is often where we focus if we're constructing a solution, we need to keep on asking ourselves, what does that mean to the user? What does that mean to the stakeholder? It has this, which means that you will have this benefit. To sharpen this skill, we often get people to write a future press release for their vision. And another exercise I've had people do is to create a poster, a one-page poster to communicate the value of your service, the value of the solution. And what these two activities do is they have you look at your solution from the outside, the positive impact it will have, not the inside details of the implementation. So let's return to the describe and defend, the default pattern, and just think about it in terms of its structure and its engagement. So this is a pattern, as you had in the example. People will often start with, here's the introduction to today, here's my agenda, here's the problem, perhaps a recap of the problem statement, here's where we are in the analysis and what our analysis has told us, which leads us to the solution concept, and this is our plan going forwards. Often then with a close which says, oh, and I'd like your support for this. Now, if you think about that structure, it's just not engaging. If you're sitting in the audience, you're thinking, you know, what's coming? What are they going to be asking for? If people are presenting a problem, you start to generate your own solution. Say, well, I'd solve that problem like this. And as you go through, more and more information is being given to you, and you're building up more and more of that natural tendency to resist and to challenge and to question. So here comes my second suggestion for today, and that is to change the structure, to move away from that default. Just be more engaging. Make the conversation from the outset a conversation for action. Conversations for action create progress. They generate ideas and involvement. Specifically, a conversation for action would be an offer you're making, a proposal you're putting out there, or a specific request of somebody to do something. So within your conversation, ask yourself, what is the call to action? Make that call to action specific and put it up front so people are included. They know what's being asked of them today. And in a way, they know how to listen because they're processing that request or proposal or offer rather than the solution itself. So put that up front, then support that proposal, request or offer with the reasons that you're making it. Let me share with you now a full structure. It's a structure that in Psionic we train in. It's called PROEP, P-R-O-E-P. Proposal, reason, objection, example, proposal. So it flows like that. I'm going to give you a small example now of how that works. So here comes my example. In this podcast, I'm asking you to experiment with changing the way you communicate change, specifically to foreground the outcome and the benefit, and also to adopt a more engaging structure. Now, why does this make sense? Well, it'll give you greater emotional impact with the focus on benefits. You'll take people up the communication escalator faster, getting them to a point of engagement. And it's absolutely proven as a structure. You might be saying, well, I'm not sure if it will work for me. You know, people like to understand, you know, the problem and all the engineering and the analysis. I would say, well, it probably has worked for you in the past, but this might be even better. So my response would be to experiment. As an example from my own experience, I use this pattern whenever I'm seeking buy-in or trying to influence through a message, even if that's only an email. I find it creates greater focus and clarity in the message and gets a better response. So in conclusion, I would ask you to remember the PROEP as a pattern and to experiment. Experiment somewhere safe initially and see what results you get. Hopefully you heard the PROEP structure at work there. I'd just like to draw out a couple of other elements of PROEP. Firstly, within the O, the objection handling piece, you're anticipating and countering an objection even before that's been asked from the audience. And also, you know, the example piece, when you're providing an example, it's an opportunity to tell a story of how you or somebody else has, you know, taken on board your change. What is it they were trying to achieve? How did they interact with your solution or your service? Or how did they get that work done differently in the new world, and what were the benefits and the value that they obtained from that. So by telling a story, either from an early adopter or from your vision of how you see the change working in the future, the story and the example makes it concrete and people can really relate to it. Now, using this structure and some of these techniques, you might be now pushing a much more effective communication, you know, better than describe. However, you might still get a push back. Remember in the example I gave you earlier where things fell apart in the Q&A, a defensive reaction to questions can create this defend, attack, win, lose, right, wrong argument. And so I think some suggestions and guidance here, as I said earlier, you know, anticipate and expect the challenges. You know, there is a technique ahead of your communication where you can brainstorm the predictable challenges that you're going to get. So when the question is asked, you know, you can manage your reaction, your responding, not reacting. So you probably have to govern that emotional attachment to your idea to defend it. You might now be thinking, yes, that's a good question. And, you know, it's a question that we anticipated. So reward your questioner by acknowledging the question, taking their concern seriously, and then try and really understand and hear what's behind the question. Sometimes you could even ask the questioner to say more, to elaborate, to explain a little bit more their thinking behind the question. It's leading me to another influencing technique here where ProEP is very good as what I would call a push influencing. Pull influencing techniques involve more engagement, asking more questions of your stakeholder, doing more listening to get to a point where you earn a hearing. Now, you might be able to do some of that in your meeting. And of course, remember that, you know, you can always have a private discussion after the meeting. If you have somebody who you feel is really challenging you, you know, it could be a buying signal when people say that, you know, this is not the biggest issue I have right now. Opportunity to ask them, well, what is their biggest issue? Perhaps that will show you the pathway to connect your benefit to their situation. Remember that enrollment will only occur when people can see their commitments being satisfied within your solution. And you have to get to that point for the enrollment event to occur. Perhaps now a short recap and then a final thought. So the key points I've been hoping to get across in this session: plan communications as much as you do the rest of the project work. Use in your communications plan the idea of the escalator of enrollment. Focus on the outcome and the benefits, not the features and the attributes. Engage people with conversations for action, proposals, requests, offers. Use ProEP as an effective way to drive that conversation for action. Expect, anticipate, and manage your response to the challenges that you will get. And now just a final thought to add to all of that. Consider that certainty divides and uncertainty unites. So if people are really certain and dogmatic, the harder they push. Generally, you know, the more pushback they get, and they may just have a tin ear and a deaf ear to important information. So have an open mind. When people raise objections and challenges, take them seriously. You know, balance your push with your pull, your questioning, and your listening. There are times when that negative feedback is actually a signal, and it's an important signal that might lead you to modify your approach. if you were open to new information. As they say, when the information changes, when the facts change, I change my mind. And that's going to be a subject for the next topic. So for today, thank you for your time and your interest. Goodbye. Till next time. This is Chris.